Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, speaking to us, giving us good information, speaking to us in our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't hide what's deep inside your heart. It will be spoken. The more you believe it, the more fervently you will speak it. It doesn't matter if it's fear, if it's faith, if it's fear, if it's doubt, unbelief, if it's the word of God, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in your heart the most, that's what you speak. And what you speak is how your life is governed. Faith is a driver, not a driver. Fear is a driver. Faith is a definer. You get to select how your life will be. It gives you the ability to put a demand on your life at your will. Your faith does. It's a definer. Because you believe God, see, real faith is looking to God. Everything has a focus. Faith is looking to God. It's taking him at his word. It's speaking in the direction of the word of God. It puts it gives you the right and the chance to redefine your life. Whatever's lacking, you can speak God's word and make it good. Now, when Adam was made, God told him five things: to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. And he had made a garden eastward in Eden. And Adam was supposed to make the whole world look like that garden. Now, the facts on the ground, Adam had a format. He had vision. He had the ability to make the rest of the world look like heaven. And all the animals, he had dominion over all the animals. And remember, in those days, animals could communicate. It's not a big deal that animals could talk. They could talk in the original creation. But once sin came, they lost their ability to speak. God made them dumb. With good purpose. You don't want animals speaking now. Men are off track with sin, so we don't need animals speaking. And I know this because in the story of Balaam, his donkey spoke to him. It didn't say the Lord made his donkey speak. The word of God teaches that the Lord loosed her vocal cords, and then she spoke with memory, asking him why did he hit her. Now, moving on. Adam was supposed to use his faith and all the love he had and his faith in obedience to what God said. Trust in God, use his faith to make the whole world look like the Garden of Eden. And he had time to do it. And he began. He named all the animals. It was up to Adam his life, just like worship, is voluntary. Obeying God is too. The Lord present us with something to see what we'll do with it. He gave us salvation. And he notices what we do with it. Now, Jesus supplied all of our needs that day on the cross. He gave us salvation. He gave us the kingdom of God. He gave us healing for our body. He gave us healing for our emotion, our spirit man, our mind. All this is in right there in Isaiah 53. Chastisement of our peace is upon him. He gave us peace. He gave us all the elements we need to build our lives by faith. Now Habakkuk 2:4 said, "The just shall live by his faith." That's how we thrive. Now, faith is not there just for us to, you know, people do gimmicks. I don't believe in gimmicks. I believe in taking God at his word. If you want to prosper, speak your life. Speak it in your life. And act on it. Whatever problem you need to solve to gain the prosperity, the forms of prosperity that you're after, it's up to you to speak God's word. We act on his word. There's a labor side. See, faith without works is dead. Some people have mountain moving faith, but they won't put a finger to it, to their action. They won't lift a finger to do what they should do. Lazy people always have lack. I mean, the Proverbs, it said he walked past the lazy man's field and the grass was high, weeds were growing. The fruit that had come up was dying. He's coming to poverty because he sleeps too long. That's not God's best. It's not God's will. It's not his best. Now, whatever we do in life, we have to define our lives according to the word of God. And the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Even if you try to hold it back. So why not get rid of the things that's causing problems and receive more of the word of God that causes the blessings? And use your mouth to speak God's word. But see, a lot of times, I've in the 80s and in the 90s, people were trying to prosper. And they put a lot of energy into prosperity. And the leadership always promoted people giving to their ministry, and then God would bless them. Now, I've heard of people giving their way out of debt. They gave to the ministry. If you believe God's word about something, see, they left out the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Proverbs. All that's got to be included. We have to present our life. If we present our lives as a living sacrifice, I never heard people say seek God first. Now they will quote the scripture, but they didn't teach on it much. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you'll ask what you... I've heard that scripture a lot. But not this way. In life, go in prayer. See what the Holy Spirit has to say. Let him give you direction. And then use your faith to fulfill that. And then things will be added to you. I didn't hear that. But I heard God teach that. He took me aside and taught me about following him. And that's better. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you're saying, that's what you have. Whatever you've been saying, you have what you say. These are facts. Now, Charles Capps did a beautiful job about confessions. Now, a lot of people, they took that message and went after what they desired. And I took that same confession and learned to control my emotions. I spoke the emotions that I wanted to have. I confessed that I love God, I love his will, I love his people. And my desires changed. To the point that I didn't want the things of old anymore. And then a lot of Christians, they didn't hear it. People, they never heard it on that. You know, when I would talk about what I really wanted to do, and they saw me live a life of integrity, sometimes they were surprised. They thought that I wanted the same things that other people want. And I don't. I want God's best. I want his will in my life. It doesn't matter to me if I attain a lot of things as much as it does getting people saved so they can live forever with their families in heaven. My eyes on a much greater prize. And I can only do that by following God because I don't know how to do what I'm after. But when God reveals something, that's where I dig in. That's where I use my faith, because I trust him. Now, I've seen people, they believe God's word. They believe they're in the ministry. They're doing what God gave them to do. But when they look at the problems more than I believe they should, and they allow the things that they see to discourage them. Now, let's go back to Adam. He's making the earth beautiful, just like the Garden of Eden. And then he gets to places where he wants things to be a certain way. If he looks to the Lord, he'll have the wisdom to do whatever he needs to do. Make good use of mountains. Make good use of valleys. Make good use of rugged terrain. See, all those things they have a purpose. You know, they can be made beautiful too. But if you look at it as a problem, your focus is on can be on the problem more than it is on the Lord, who knows how to solve the problem. And when people get in fear, when they see things in the church or in their ministry that shouldn't be, and people don't seem to be going forward like they expected, they can get discouraged and they want to quit. They want something else. They want to have different types of people or something, instead of focusing on what the Lord has given. But when you focus on the Lord, he'll show you how to make good use of what you already have. And you will be surprised what people can be capable of. But if you stop believing in what God can do in their lives, it'll get in your heart and become abundant. And you'll speak doubt and unbelief more than faith and trust. See, the abundance of the mouth, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. The abundance of the mouth can cause problems or blessings. And like James said, it should be either one. It shouldn't be blessing and cursing. And it definitely shouldn't be cursing. See, when we say that those people ain't going to do right, that's a curse. People, I learned something so beautiful the last few broadcasts, last few weeks. And I mentioned it on the last few broadcasts about how the Holy Spirit is not wasteful. He takes what people give him. Now, in your ministry, he can take you and win millions of people. It depends on how you yield and how you walk in integrity, how you apply your faith, how far will you take it, and how you trust God, and how you yield to him. If people give God a dime, God will not waste that dime. He will use that dime as far as he can take. He'll multiply, he'll bless, he'll use the dime of your life if that's all he has to work with. But if somebody give him a dollar, he has more to work with. If somebody give him $200, he has so much. I'm just using money as to show how whatever we give him, if we give him 100% faith and no doubt, he can do wonders in our lives. We come to the point where he can trust us to give us a greater anointing. And if we can cooperate with him and preach the message and stay in the strategy of God. See, when you deviate, what's happening is people, they look at the circumstance and they try to fix it. They're focused on the circumstance instead of the heart of God. They're focused on the circumstance instead of what in place of what the Holy Spirit has to say. Now, I minister too. But whenever I had a chance to minister, it was precious. In the days that I've been talking about, when I was in God's presence learning, I didn't preach very much. I did the things God gave me, but whenever I did have a chance to preach in a church, it was holy to me. And I would go before the Lord and ask him, what should I say to your people? And he would give me a message, and it was precious to me. And I wanted to do God's perfect will, just like I do now. And I would watch to see how he would use me to minister to others and what he would use me to say to others. And I would yield to the Holy Spirit, and then the anointing would rise up. And he would give me a message, and I would learn that message. The reason I say learn that message, I didn't just preach it, I learned it. Now, I incorporated it in my life before I preached it and after. Since I'm getting wisdom from God that I didn't have before, I'm going to definitely use it to build my life, because my life wasn't like I wanted it at all. I applied principles in my business. I applied principles in my ministry, in my marriage. Everything I was learning, you know, I used it. And then I preached it. I ministered it. And then I saw how God used me to speak to others and learn some more. And sometimes people were contrary, but I didn't look at them. I looked at the Lord. I stayed focused on the Lord and what he had to say. Because I wanted to be a blessing. See, when the word gets in anybody's heart, that might be the last message they hear. And they may not be a great man of God or a woman of God, but they might get saved. If they can just get saved. And then if they are saved, they can be encouraged. And if they'll take it for good for that, if they'll go even further, good. We'll help them go even further. And see, I've been to church all my life, and I've seen people in the state go to church, then they just quit altogether and won't ever go back. Because circumstances happen, and people do things wrong, and they preach wrong, and it scatters the body. If you don't build with the Lord, you scatter. And I want people to have enough words so things don't make them scatter. That was part of my strategy, too. And then people needed to know how to fight and resist Satan. And I wanted people to know that you're not crazy, because when things go wrong, it's not your fault. That's Satan trying to hinder your life and drive you back in the world some kind of way. So I was highly motivated to be a blessing to God's people and let them know, give them a heads up. This warfare is real. Life is precious. God will bless you. But if you look at him, you'll receive more answers in life. But if you look at the problem, you can get out of faith that God can do something about the problem. You can get angry because people are not doing what you think they should. And then people always are going to say something that makes it all look real. And if you get in strife, and the Lord taught me this, using tithes, a lot of pastors get in strife with the people of God because they don't tithe. Well, what happens is, because they're in strife, it gets in their heart and it comes out of their mouth, and then the people get in strife. And then the next thing that happens is the church can't grow, and they get weaker than they were. Because wherever envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And this thing goes worse. It gets worse and worse. It's not just tithes. I'm just using tithes for an example. That's one of the things the enemy do. He's the author of confusion. And it can be any form of strife. It can start over a lie. Strife can start over a lie. It doesn't have to be tithes. I'm not picking. It's a blessing to tithe. I am a tither. I believe in tithes. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. It's worship. It's holy. But I never was one of the kind of preachers that try to put people in fear and say, well, God's going to, the destroyer is going to tear your refrigerator up and wreck your car. I don't believe that at all. The Old Testament, they broke covenant. This is worship. Our tithing is based off the order of Melchizedek, just like it's written in the Word of God. I think it was Hebrews 6. Talked about how we tithe after the order of Melchizedek. There was no demand for tithes when Abraham did it. And Levi paid tithes in Abraham because he did it. His generation did it. They were in his loins when he paid tithes to Melchizedek. So that's the kind of worship God wants. And if you don't tithe, you know, Abraham was blessed greatly. And God is going to bless us whether we tithe or not. And if you want see, the enemy, he don't tithe either. He don't have a right to come tear up anything you own. If you want him, if you want to rebuke him, you need to rebuke him. If you don't rebuke him, if you tithe and don't rebuke him, he'll tear up your stuff. When I'm driving and a car almost hit me, and I go on further and another car almost hit me, and you know, when I notice it's a passage, Satan, stop it. You can't tear up my vehicle. Everything you work for, you own. You have a right to protect it. Don't let people put you in condemnation if you miss a tithe payment. Don't let people get you in fear if you refuse to tithe. That's something that you and the Holy Spirit need to work out. And if you do tithe, it ought to be, in my opinion, it ought to be worship. I hadn't seen anything in the scriptures to prove that you're going to suffer if you don't tithe. In the New Testament, the Gentiles didn't pay anything. Paul preached, they got saved, they were blessed, they got healed, they spoke in tongues, they did everything. But they weren't trained to tithe, so they didn't. And then I'm sure over time they learned how. They learned about it. But we need to know God now. And we need to utilize every opportunity we have. Jesus taught us that the Lord desires worship. He's looking for people that worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Now, in order for people to worship him in spirit and in truth, they have to love God and understand and be settled in their own heart and mind. And then they'll worship God in spirit and in truth. Then they'll pay tithes in spirit and in truth. See, if you don't do it, if you don't build with the Lord, you scatter. If you look at the people and get frustrated and get in strife, remember, every evil work follows and invents strife. The Lord, he told me this for a reason. And then, you know, if your heart gets full of strife, if it's in there in abundance, it's coming out. And whoever you're upset with is going to come out at them. This thing gets bad. Then at the dinner table, people start talking about the pastor. Because they can detect when people are throwing stones at them on the sly. And then they do it before the children. And then the children lose respect for the man that's trying to help them. And people don't realize how dangerous this is. So they continue. When they go to college, those professors in college don't believe in God anyway. And they teach our children against God. I went to UAB in Birmingham. UAB. And the teacher, when I took English, they taught about things that atheists wrote, things that even down to Satan worship. That's the kind of material they used in the class. And they taught about things that depicted Christians as foolish, as hypocrites. And I saw it for what it was. These are people fresh out of high school. They don't have a grip on life yet, or they don't expect them to. But people that take their children to church and live the life before them, their children will, they have an anchor. And they know when they're being lied to. So I warned my children about what they would face in colleges. They are not just colleges, people. People have all kind of opinions. Then there's other religions. And they try to pet these other religions as if they are right. It's just, you know, Jesus said it this way. Real plain and easy to understand. If you try to go to heaven another way but through me, you're the same as a thief and a robber. And he also said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger they don't follow. And so many preachers are scared to preach like I'm preaching now. If you don't build with him, you scatter. And if there's strife, every evil work follows envy and strife. So if you don't want every evil work, get rid of the envy and the strife. So now, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the people that pay tithes, thank God for them. And the people that don't, thank God for them. Because the Holy Spirit is looking at over time, they will grow. They will learn to the point that they can worship God in spirit and in truth in greater levels. But right now, God will use that the same people that will not pay tithes. He can use them to do other things that they can do. And it's valuable. Remember, Jesus said there was no prophet greater than John the Baptist. And then he said another amazing statement, that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Mm-hmm. I'm just messing people's theology all up. Going right back to what Jesus said in the first place. And the reason lies get preached and misunderstanding because people's focus get off course, and they preach it as truth, and it's hindering them. Every time you do that, it's hindering you. It's hindering everybody who's done that, everybody who believed a lie, everybody that is hindering. They would be so much further along if they just paid more attention to the Holy Spirit. Even if their ministry is outstanding in the eyes of man. The Lord taught me that when people be wrong, that part, God can't use error. So that part's got to fall off. It's going to fall. And God has had to redo it. You know, you can't build a foundation with good stones and bricks and then add some crack bricks in there. No, that's got to come out. You can't use weak rocks. You got to put strong ones there. The Lord don't build what we found. He don't build on weakness. Now, if people don't give him a little bit, he'll use that. This is what I meant to say. A few weeks ago, the Lord showed me how in ministry, he'll bless people in the sermon. He blessed their greatest need. The sermons where people are following him. He'll minister to their greatest need. And then he'll turn around and give them information for later. And it's like putting information in the bank, putting the word deep in their heart in the bank. They don't need it right now. They're going to forget it right now. But when the Holy Spirit needs it, it will be there. And even the least of God's people can make a difference. They can do something to save a person's life. They might say, be at the right place at the right time and have the right thing to say at the right time, and somebody will live. Even obnoxious people can be a blessing. People that you don't think was listening were listening. And the children that go off to college and they hear lies and they don't fall for it. Now, they might look like they wasn't paying attention to church, but they go through college, get an education, get a job, and they didn't fall for lies. And they didn't do great and wonderful things. And then they get married and have children, and they bring their family to church. You're looking at a very wise person. They may not be called to preach. They may not do anything outstanding. They may work at a job somewhere. But they stayed out of trouble. They didn't get on drugs. They didn't get divorced. And when you talk to them, where did all this wisdom come from? They don't look like they were going anywhere. They didn't look outstanding. But they didn't fall for lies. And they built their life. The Lord can do something with a little bit. As long as they're in the kingdom of God, they're useful. Over the course of their life, God can touch many hearts. There was a girl that died that worked at a parts store. She had a child. She went to church. She was faithful. And she was young. I don't think she was 24 yet. She might have been 24. But she died of a massive heart attack. And at the funeral, so many people got saved at her funeral. And she was just a young girl. Over the course of people's lives, the things that they do, even if they make mistakes, a lot of people were touched by her life. And she wasn't perfect. But God can use the little bit that people give. There's no reason to get in strife with anybody for any reason. Some things you just have to wait on. Pray for the situation and seek the Holy Spirit how you can help them. And just yield to the Holy Spirit. You can't make people do what they don't want to do. If they don't give God something, then you can't make them do it. You can't coerce people in the kingdom of God. You can't, and you're not supposed to coerce people to do all these things. I never use fear to, I show people. Now, victory requires you to do certain things. If you're going to get an education and be good at it, and you want somebody to hire you, you're going to have to do what it takes.